You know, several things are happening today. Did you enjoy the madrigals? Oh boy, aren't they great? This is the last day for our collection of toys for It Takes a Village. Abby, are you here? Abby's supposed to be with Abby, yes. Abby, last we heard there were like 139. Is that about right? Children that we're helping to help, as are many other churches and organizations in our community. But Abby, these presents up here all around these Christmas trees are what we have collected this year, and I want to say thank you. So next week, those presents will be gone. But thanks to you and your generosity, they will be blessing a family this Christmas. So thank you. Today is also the last day for collecting our coats and gloves and hats and things for Helping Hands Ministry. We have to take those over there this week. People are in need of them. They'll begin distributing them very soon. So thank you again for that. Now there are a couple of out there things coming that will be here sooner than you think. How many of you notice time is flying pretty fast these days? Well, our Valentine's banquet is coming up in February. I believe it's 8th and 9th. Is that right? Huh? Okay, the 8th and 9th. And we have sign-ups out there. But here's the little nuance about it this year. We're doing a dinner theater on Saturday night. And the play that many of our folks here in the congregation are busy even now putting together and have been for quite a while is Neil Simon's Broadway play, God's Favorite. It's top quality and it is hilarious. You will want to be a part of it. Saturday night is the dinner theater. It will be catered as it was last year. I believe prime rib or smothered type chicken. You can choose that. It's $20 a person for that. But because it has to be in the old sanctuary, we have limited seating. And we want more people to get to see the play and that kind of thing. So on Friday night, we will have a dinner dessert. There won't be the meal, but there will be a dessert. And then the play on Friday night as well. So that's the difference. And there is a sign-up. We'll be out here today. You go and sign up for that. Now that has to all be done in advance, has to be paid for in advance and everything, because our caterer has to prepare those meals for a certain number. So there are no sales at the door. But starting today, this is not going to be the only day, but starting today you can sign up for that. Dixie, Sandy, do we have a price on the Friday night? High five. Oh, that's the price. Okay. $5 for Friday night, dessert, and the play. Do what? I'm right? Make a note of that. Starting my Christmas month off right. Keep that in mind. Don't fail to sign up out there. Well, if this is your first time with us, I hope it will be the first of many. You have joined us for our Christmas sermon series, which we started last week, The Responses of Christmas. In this series, we're taking a closer look at the responses to that first Christmas. We began last week as we shared how God planned it. Before the foundations of the earth, this was not a spur-of-the-moment thing. God has put Christmas into motion before the world began. And this morning we will continue with Mary pondered it. Luke took up the challenge of validating and recording in an orderly fashion the stories about Jesus. In chapter 1, verse 3 of his gospel account, Luke tells us he has carefully investigated everything from the beginning. He shares the miracle of a chosen couple. A priest named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. He says of them, both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Luke shares how an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah while he was performing his duties as a priest. He brought news to him that he and Elizabeth were going to have a son, truly a miracle birth, born past the age of childbearing. The angel told him his son would be an incredible young man, a blessing to all of Israel, and that he would prepare people for the coming of the Lord. The angel was, of course, speaking of the birth of Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. Now, what happened next, I got to confess, I understand, and I would have done the same thing. Zechariah questions the news the angel had just laid on him. I mean, if an angel came and told me, David, your wife Barbie is going to have a son. My first reaction would not be, woohoo! If I survived that announcement, I would have questioned, are you sure you got the right couple here? As it happens, the angel is none other than Gabriel. And for questioning Gabriel's word, Zechariah was unable to speak for the 9 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Now, I'm not sure she didn't enjoy that some. You know. But I trust nearly all of you are familiar with that. As Elizabeth was entering her third trimester, Gabriel appears to Mary. And he tells her something even more miraculous is going to happen to her. Again, I trust nearly all of you are familiar with the rest of the story. She has the drama of breaking the news to Joseph and their families. Because of a census and taxing, she makes nearly a week-long trip with Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem. She was so pregnant on this trip that once they got there, Jesus was born. You know there was no room in the inn, so they stayed in the barn. And Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. An angel and then a host of angels appeared to the shepherds. They were told of a Savior that had been born in Bethlehem. They took off and found the Holy Family of Mary and Joseph and the baby, just as the angel had said. And then as they left, they spread word about what they had heard and seen, and it amazed everybody. But tucked away in a single verse between all of these exciting events, we're told something special about Mary. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2 and look at verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The message says, Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear, deep within herself. In 1843, Charles Dickens wrote a story called A Christmas Carol. He prefaced that story with these words, I have endeavored in this ghostly little book to raise the ghost of an idea, which shall not, I trust, put my readers out of humor with themselves, with each other, with the season, or with me. And he concluded it by saying, may it haunt their houses pleasantly. And it has. It has haunted our houses, our bookstores, our stages, and our screens quite pleasantly for 175 years. I'm not sure it's quite Christmas until I have watched that great classic, The Muppet Christmas Carol. Thanks to you guys. I did watch it again this year. Now, over the years, I've noticed something unique about this Christmas special. Even though I know the story very well, there's always something that touches my heart. This year, I was not surprised to find my mind going back to the ending. As you may recall, after his hauntings and after his resolution to start a new life, the narrator shares this about the change Scrooge experienced. Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. To Tiny Tim, who didn't die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, as good a man as the good old city ever knew. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well. Is that what I do? Is that what we do? Do we keep Christmas well? I have a feeling many don't. Maybe we don't know how to. Maybe we're just a little selfish. So we don't keep Christmas well. Instead, we just celebrate Christmas. We unwrap it, we eat it, we undecorate it, and then we put it back into storage, and Christmas is gone until next year. Luke's account of the Christmas story makes it clear Mary knew how to keep Christmas well. In fact, he describes Mary in much the same way Dickens describes Scrooge after his transformation. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. We celebrate Christmas, but we don't hold on to it. We don't keep Christmas well. We don't allow Christmas to become a part of us. We don't let it transform us. We don't treasure it up and ponder it in our heart as Mary did that first Christmas night. You see, when we treasure something, we do more than just keep it in storage. The things we treasure have more value to us than the things we just keep around. And their value often comes from the fact they show us just how much someone else treasures us. Isn't that what Christmas was about? A Savior was born. God so loved us that He gave His only Son. Allow me to share a couple of examples. Many of us, men and women, are wearing a ring on our left finger. It's our wedding ring. I don't get to wear mine often because I'm allergic to most jewelry. But many, many, many have been wearing one for decades. Some of you couldn't get that ring off your finger if you had to. It's one of the things we treasure. It's one of the things we treasure not because it's a ring, because it's a story. It's not a story about a ring I bought for myself. It's a story of commitment given to me when Barbie and I were married. It's a reminder of our promises, for better or worse. And I do have to remind her of that from time to time. Much like the couple in marriage counseling. And the preacher said, "Now remember, you promised for better or worse." And she bowed her head and she said, "I know, but he's worse than I took him for." It's a reminder of all that we have shared before and since December the 20th, 1971. It's a treasure not because of the titanium that it's made of, but the symbol of a shared story and a shared life. Men and women alike often fidget with their rings, twist them around on their fingers, and in those moments you can almost tell they're someplace else. They're pondering on something they have treasured in their heart. There are pictures on my refrigerator, and I'm pretty sure on yours too, hung there for all to see, not for their artistic value, but because they are masterpieces drawn by our children and grandchildren. It's not the paper we cherish. It's the stories behind the pictures. I'm sure you have treasures in your life. Treasures with stories only you can deeply appreciate. Treasures that help you see just how much someone else has treasured you. It was the same for Mary that first Christmas night. Miraculously, God placed Himself in Mary's womb. Some 9 months later, Mary gave birth to a son. And when she looked into the face of her little boy, she was looking into the face of God. Mary, did you know? Yeah, I think so. On that first Christmas night, Mary received a gift, the gift of a son. As a new mother, can't you just see her getting lost in her thoughts as she stares at her newborn? Counting his toes, touching his fingers, listening to his tiny squeaks and noises, looking at his nose and his eyes and the shape of his lips, all the precious thoughts a mother welcomes to take her mind off of how tired and sore she feels after having a baby. I'm fairly certain as Mary held baby Jesus that night, she was pondering on a story that started months before, and it was unfolding more and more day by day. A story of a visit from the angel Gabriel who brought her an announcement of a miraculous event that would reshape her life and even ours forever. A story of telling Joseph and their families and their friends how she was pregnant. But she was not unfaithful. A story of Elizabeth, a story of a census and taxation requiring a brutal journey that had brought them this night to Bethlehem. A story of a little town so crowded there was no room in the inn, so now she was nursing her newborn son in a stable. A story of shepherds who had also received an angelic message. Shepherds who had paid their visit to the Holy Family. Who had seen the infant Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes, just as the angel had said. And returned to their flocks, excitingly proclaiming the good news as they went their way. You see, suddenly her simple life had suddenly become spectacular. She needed time to take it all in. How do you process that? And so Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. In that moment, she was treasuring up all these events and pondering, what is the meaning of all this? What could all this possibly mean for her and Joseph and their life together going forward, raising the Son of God? Do you think she even suspected it would mean a vacation to Egypt? I doubt it. Do you think she even thought in the next couple of years kings and foreign dignitaries would visit them bringing gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh? She took all of it in like a sponge, soaking it up so she could hold on to it and keep it forever as she continued to just watch it unfold day by day. Little did she know that first Christmas night was just the beginning. But you know, us modern men and women whose lives have become too full and too fast have the same need to treasure and ponder. We need time to feel. We need time to think. After an event has jolted us or brought excitement to us, we need to ask ourselves, what's the meaning of all this? Where do I go from here? Reflection is difficult to do in a crowd. What we need in order to sort things out are times of solitude and silence. You may remember in our series on the Ten Commandments, we spoke of the need for a Sabbath rest. It was instilled in us and insisted for us by God Himself. We need those moments away. We need them to ponder how much God has done and how much He is doing for us. To ponder His Word, His promises, and His mission for us. Some have said people today are afraid of quiet. By and large, we avoid those moments when life slows to a halt and we can actually take a moment to treasure something or to ponder on something. Yet it is so remarkable how many times the Bible tells us Jesus withdrew or went up on a mountain or was alone beside the lake. And in those moments, He met with the Father and together they would ponder the reason for the season. It seems for many, instead of seeking and cherishing silent moments to ponder the many blessings or for prayer, we look for something to do or something to listen to or something to watch. How many of you, December just began, how many of you are already struggling to find time for certain events? We're trying to find an evening for the staff to go out together for a Christmas dinner. We settle on something yet? Well, Marcia, we're coming over to your house then. Next Sunday, good? Well, how many of you know what I'm talking about? You got office parties, you got children's programs, you've got family get-togethers, you've got travel, you've got... For some, it's been years since you took a vacation or slipped off for a weekend with your family just to get away. Some can't even remember the last time you went out to dinner with your family and left your iPhone at home. Or for that matter, sat at the table and didn't use it. Some have never found a quiet place or set aside a time just to be in prayer in your prayer closet, alone with God and your thoughts on purpose. If you haven't seen it, you need to see War Room. I'm not surprised to hear that. It's just what the devil wants. He wants us so busy that no one would pause and pray, that no one would stop to treasure and hold God's Word and promises. You know what Christmas is about. You have heard the prophecies and promises before. You know and believe that Jesus is your Savior. You know about His mercies and His grace. You know He sent His Son to be your Savior. You know how He clothed you in His righteousness and how He gave us His name. You know how He sent His Spirit to help us bear fruit as we serve Him, to guide us, to intercede for us, to rebuke us and train us and correct us and to inspire us. You know He has promised you a place with Him in all eternity, a place where He will dry all the tears, heal all your heartaches, and you know He always keeps His promises. Ponder on that. Treasure that up in your heart. I suggest we'll never grow tired of hearing the Christmas story, and it will always be a fresh, life-transforming part of our lives if we treasure it up and ponder it the way the Bible tells us Mary did. Let's be honest. I don't think this comes very easily in our lives today. We've heard the story so many times. Its true impact is all but lost on us. And what's more, this whole holiday season today seems designed to keep us so impossibly busy and worn out, we don't have time to think deeply about the meaning of Christmas. Think how busy you have been in Christmases past, and perhaps already this Christmas, with burdensome, time-consuming things that have absolutely nothing to do with the celebration of the birth of our Savior. Could it be much of the unnecessary and un-Christ-centered busy work which has come to be associated with our Christmases is deliberately intended? Could it be the devil desperately seeks to keep people from spending any meaningful time thinking and reflecting on the true significance of Christmas? Could it be one of the great triumphs of the devil is how he has succeeded in making Christmas for many people a mundane, meaningless ritual? Thus, we celebrate Christmas, but we don't do Christmas well. Let me close with this thought. The result of treasuring up and pondering Christmas is astounding. While his world rejected and despised him, while the religious leaders denied him and called for his death, while the government wanted to calm down all the uproar he was causing, while the people were excited by his words and his healings, they turned violent when he upset their economy, and while his own family thought he was crazy, Mary never let go of the things she had treasured up in her heart. You see, Mary put the pieces together. Her baby had been conceived within her by the Holy Spirit and was therefore the eternal Son of God in human flesh. He was the fulfillment of God's promises from long ago given through the prophets. This baby was God's promise of a king in the lineage of David and the provision of the salvation of sinners. His birth was cause for the angels to rejoice. Mary treasured these things up and pondered them in her heart, and they sunk deeply into her being. And that explains the life-transforming impact Christmas really held for Mary. Imagine this. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. After Jesus has risen from the dead, we're told that all Jesus' disciples, all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Mary became a follower and a worshiper of the child she gave birth to that first Christmas. Here's your takeaway. Don't celebrate Christmas. Treasure it. Ponder it up. All year through. Father God, I don't know what Christmas means deeply to anyone in this room but myself. I know what I want to believe. I know what we all want to believe. But are we really keeping Christmas well? And not just on Christmas Day, but all throughout the year. Is our heart just filled with the things that Christmas really means? Treasure them up, there for us to ponder in those moments of quiet and still with you that we can. After all, that's when we meet you. Be still and know that I'm God. So Father, I guess this Christmas my prayer for all of us would be that in the middle of all this busyness and all this commercialism and all the materialism and all that goes with it, and Father, quite frankly, all that's been going on since before Halloween, let's just stop. And let's ponder on the things of Christmas and what it really means. It means you loved us so much. You couldn't bring yourself to watch us face eternity without you. And so you made an atoning sacrifice for us through your Son. Christmas, a Savior is born. The video we watched this morning to save me, to save me, to save me. Many in this room can rejoice because we have accepted that gift of salvation. Some may still be seeking it and need it so desperately. Our invitation, Father, is simple. If you will treasure and ponder on these things that God has done for you, it will, for you, like it did for Mary, find you together with other believers, worshiping, praising, living for you. You only ask us to repent, to be baptized and wash away our sin, to accept the gift of even more with your Holy Spirit to help us with a new life, a life in Christ. Won't be easy. Nobody promised that. It won't always be the way we would like it, but it will always be a way that is pleasing to you. Let our lives this Christmas glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.